welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Wednesday, April 19, 2023. International aid agencies are calling on Sudan's warring parties to protect civilians, allow humanitarians and relatives to access the wounded and dead bodies on the streets of Khartoum.
Civilian population are still paying the price of this fighting taking place in the cities. We see since this morning many people trying to leave Khartoum and other cities.
And aid workers stuck in El Fasher say their food supply is running low.
The population was trapped in this violence. Many people were wounded. We received until the end of yesterday 183 wounded. Majority of them are civilians, including children.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government is advising its citizens in the Sudanese capital Khartoum to stay at home as the Kiir administration engages the two warring parties to adhere to an international brokered ceasefire. South Sudan's acting Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation says the government plans to evacuate South Sudanese stuck in areas affected by conflict in Sudan. For VOA News, Deng Gai Deng has more from Juba.
Peter Majad Deng, a resident of Juba, says his brother Atim Deng, who went to Khartoum to seek medical treatment, is stranded and has no means of returning home after fighting erupted on Saturday. Majad appeals to the Kiir administration to evacuate his brother and other South Sudanese who are trapped by the fighting in Khartoum and other parts of Sudan.
He just finished his medication and he was supposed to return, but things went out of control in Khartoum, and for the few days of fighting, I have been checking on him, and the situation there is really very, very hard. Talking about things like water now, there's no water for them. I spoke to him yesterday, and he said that there's no water. The water system has been shut down.
Deng Dao Deng is South Sudan's acting minister for foreign affairs and international cooperation. Deng says the government plans to evacuate the South Sudanese who are trapped in Sudan, but adds that it can be risky to evacuate South Sudanese as fighting rages in Khartoum.
South Sudan embassy in Khartoum is open, and we have talked to our citizens to be able to reach our staff in the embassy, although it is very risky for them to leave in one place or another. On the issue of evacuation, is something that we wait if the ceasefires become holding, then is where now we can talk about evacuation.
Majak hedges the government to evacuate the South Sudanese who are strapped in Khartoum.
If it is risky for the government, it will be more risky for the citizens of South Sudan who are in Khartoum. So I expect government to do something. There's something that the government can do, actually. The situation in Sudan is a concern of South Sudanese, knowing that many people are connected to Sudan.
Minister Deng says President Salva Kiir is in constant communication with the warring parties in Khartoum and has asked them to respect Tuesday's ceasefire and give access to humanitarian aid workers.
The government is ready, but the situation cannot allow. You know, it is the fact that the war is in Khartoum, and therefore it is hard to risk life of people to leave where they are, to cross road or to leave their residence. So our advice is that they should stick to where they are, and His Excellency the President is making all the effort, you know, to call the parties to come for ceasefire. And as soon as the ceasefire is declared, all the plan will be unveiled for South Sudanese in Sudan.
Fighting erupted in the streets of the Sudanese capital Khartoum on Saturday morning between the Sudan armed forces loyal to General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and the paramilitary rapid support forces led by General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, known as IMITI. The World Health Organization says 270 people were killed and about 2,600 others injured. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng.
Still on Sudan, the International Committee of the Red Cross or ICRC, is repeating its call on Sudan's warring parties to protect civilians, respect international brokered ceasefire, and allow humanitarians and relatives to access the wounded and the dead. ICRC Sudan spokesperson Jermaine Mwehu says 5 days of fighting has worsened an already dire humanitarian situation in Sudan.
This is the fifth day since the beginning of fighting in Khartoum and other cities of Sudan, and unfortunately things have not changed. Civilian population are still paying the price of this fighting taking place in the cities. We see since this morning many people trying to leave Khartoum and other cities despite the fighting. We can see also people leaving some areas of Khartoum going to other areas considered as less dangerous. So that's the situation today. I can also mention the fact that when it comes to hospitals, it's more difficult for hospitals, because now some hospitals, actually many hospitals, don't have electricity, don't have water. Also, this is what is the case for many parts of Khartoum. No water, no electricity, and it affects mostly hospitals. Hospitals lack also medicine and medical supplies, because when it comes to medicine and medical supplies, it has to come generally from stores which are situated in other parts of Khartoum. As ambulances, medical staff, they can't move, it's very difficult. Regarding humanitarian organizations, nothing has changed. Also, since our last call to allow humanitarian organizations to do their job, unfortunately, nothing has changed so far. So we'd like once again to call on all parties to facilitate the work of humanitarian organizations.
And last time we spoke, you didn't have enough information about the death toll, the wounded. Now we're hearing figures like 200 plus people have been killed and thousands wounded. We hear about dead bodies in the streets of the capital. What do you know about this aspect of the humanitarian situation?
According to some people who contact us, they say that that's the situation in hospitals and in cities. Bodies are there. They call us asking for intervention from Red Cross, International Red Cross, as well as Sudanese Red Cross Society. But when it comes to Khartoum, as I said before, so far it's very difficult for us, very dangerous for us to go out as long as we don't get security guarantees from those who are fighting.
Yesterday, we were supposed to have a ceasefire in Sudan. They announced it, but then it was not respected. The two parties accused each other of violating it. And today, there is another ceasefire that I think was announced 2 hours ago. What is the situation? What do you know from the ground there with the people you work with?
Let's see what will be the implementation on the ground. The last one wasn't respected. Let's see what will be the situation on the ground. We hope that if it happens, it will allow civilians to get food, those who are stranded in different places to go back home. And it will allow also hospitals to receive medicine and medical supplies. Let's see, hopefully it will be implemented, that's our hope, but the last one, it didn't work as expected.
That's Jermaine Mwehu, ICRC Sudan spokesperson. He spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio from Khartoum this past hour. Sudan's paramilitary, the Rapid Support Forces, have agreed to a 24-hour ceasefire beginning at 6 p.m. local time after 5 days of battle for control between the RSF and the South and the Sudan Armed Forces. Thomas Okidi, an aid worker with the Norwegian Refugee Council, says they are trapped in the town of El Fashir, about 1,290 kilometers west of Khartoum. He tells VOA's Carol Van Damme that he and his 11 colleagues are still hearing gunfire despite the announced ceasefire.
Since the conflict started on Saturday, it's been extremely tense where I am. Conflict keeps on moving from one neighborhood to another, a lot of artillery and gunfire, and displacement of people from one neighborhood to another from within the city. So the situation remains tense. It's now about 5 days since the conflict broke out, and we still don't have any hope of it, going into a lull. So it's extremely worrying.
We just got handed a statement, and I know that this was supposed to happen yesterday at 6 p.m., but now Sudan's RSF forces say they have agreed to a 24-hour ceasefire starting at 6 p.m. this evening, following, all these days of the power struggle between the two generals. Do you believe it's going to happen this evening?
The credibility of any promise depends on whether such a similar promise has been kept in the past. Since the war broke out in Sudan, there have been promises of about two ceasefires or three ceasefires. None of them has been respected. And so I have no faith that even the current one that is being proposed is going to stand. Let's wait and see.
Tell me about your situation with supplies. Do you have how much food, how much water? Do you have what you need to survive for a few more days, or what do you have?
So I'm currently in a house in El Fasha, and I'm living with or hibernating with 11 other colleagues. And before the war broke out, we had stocked a bit of items as part of our emergency preparedness as an organization. However, like any person living in El Fasha, our items are fast running out. We are running out of food. We are running out of water. There is no electricity in the city. Thank God we have solar systems within our house. But how many people within El Fasha city are living in dire conditions? No access to food, no access to water, shelter destroyed. The situation is becoming worrying for the majority of the people, and the healthcare services within the city are becoming extremely stretched, with many people injured and some death reported.
You and your 11 colleagues there, you're staying inside. Does it seem like everybody else around you is doing the same thing?
Most of the people in the city are doing the same thing. There are people who are living in neighborhoods where the conflict is raging, and they have had to endure or risk moving into neighborhoods they considered secure. We have lived in this house for the last 5 days since the conflict broke out, even when there was a lot of gunfire outside and armed people outside our compound. We stayed inside, but conflicts keeps on moving from one neighborhood to another, and some people risk themselves and decide to cross to other neighborhoods where they consider safe. So there's a lot of movement within the city, but under extremely risky conditions.
That's Thomas Okid, an aid worker with the Norwegian Refugee Council. He spoke with VOA's Carol Van Damme from El Fasher earlier today. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the French medical charity Doctors Without Borders say Sudan is experiencing serious health crisis. Find out how after the break.
Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today. What do you do on the weekends?
Over the weekend, I happen to read my books, the novels, and sometimes I go for my leisure time, play pool tables, and watch football because I'm a fan of Arsenal.
Weekends, most of the time, I listen to music. I go to the beach. I hang out with my friends. Sometimes I go to the clubs, but mostly, most of my time, I'm always with my mom.
It is very good. Weekend is something where you can enjoy your life with either your boyfriends, girlfriends, your friends, and colleagues sometime. So it can be in form of swimming, playing footballs, and watching football. I'm a great fan of football.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The medical aid group Doctors Without Borders tells VOA the situation in Sudan is critical. The fighting that started last weekend between the Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces has left many trapped, not able to access basic health care, and not just in the capital Khartoum, but in other places as well. VOA's Mariama Diallo has more from Nairobi.
Doctors Without Borders, also known by its French acronym MSF, said on Tuesday the situation is dire in many parts of Sudan. Abdallah Hussein Abdallah, operations manager for MSF, told VOA about a hospital in El Fasher in the North Darfur region.
What was happening in the last days is that the situation was very tense there in the El Fasher. The population was trapped in this violence. Many people were, you know, wounded. We received until the end of yesterday 183 wounded. Majority of them are civilians, including children. And these people were caught in the crossfire in the town where they were doing their normal business.
MSF says the El Fasher South Hospital is the only hospital open in the area, and it's not just the recently wounded that have been coming in.
Today, the only hospital that's functioning in Al Fasher is this hospital that's supported by MSF. We're trying to assist the population as much as possible. It's not only the wounded that are over into the hospital. We also have some mothers that want to deliver, people who have other kinds of diseases that cannot go to other hospitals, because all the other three hospitals that were functional in the town and today all of them closed.
The reasons why the other three hospitals in the area closed vary, Abdallah said.
Because of different reasons. Sometimes it's reasons related, the personnel not feeling safe to go there. There are also reasons because the hospital is close to the areas which had the intense fighting in the last.
He also says that as of yesterday, 25 people who were checked into the hospital have succumbed to their wounds. The World Food Program has announced the temporary suspension of operations across the county following the killing of three staff caught in the crossfire in North Darfur. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
From Nairobi, we move back to Juba, where traders and some residents of Unity State Capital Bantu say the fighting in Sudan has impacted prices of commodities in the market. Residents of Bantu Town are calling for an external intervention to stop the fighting in Sudan. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Jacob Manyon, a trader in the United States capital Bantu, says prices of food items have increased over the past 3 days after the clashes in the Sudanese capital Khartoum between Sudan Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces.
The white flag. So a 50 kilo sack was 15,000 before the Sudan crisis, but now it shoot up to 35,000 so per 50 kg sack. And then sugar was 60,000 now to 100,000 per 50 kg per 50 kg sack of sugar. So the difference is 40,000 in just 3 days, and even wheat flour is even getting over in the market. It's scarce to find it, but if you find it, the price has already doubled. And even the dollar rate, it also shoot up from 84,000 to 91,000 today.
Residents of Unity State rely on imported goods, including food items from neighboring Sudan. Manyun, who sells electronics, says he fears traders in Bentiu market may run out of stock in the coming days because the fighting in Sudan and other cities could disrupt the supply of goods. 37-year-old resident of Bentiu town, Gatkwoth Matai, says unless the fighting in Sudan stops, traders will continue to increase prices of goods in the markets across the state.
First of all, there will be influx of returnees from Sudan, maybe of refugees plus top Sudanese who were in Sudan also will also come back. So that will cause congestion at the border and also to Bentiu town, Arubkona. That will also make things difficult, like the little food and services that will be available in the market. So there will be a scarcity of those food items.
Godwich Walk is another resident of Unity State. He says the people of Unity State are worried about the economic impact of the ongoing conflict in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum.
As we speak now, the price have skyrocketed, you know, so very abnormal compared to the last 3 days back. Because most of the basic commodities are still in the highest price because the traders are wondering when would be the next trip of getting goods from Sudan. Because currently now there is no clear mobility of people traveling.
Trader Manyon urged the South Sudan government to address insecurity along the Juba Unity State Road, remove the several checkpoints, and construct good routes to allow access to goods imported from East Africa.
Because the main supply of this part of the country is from Khartoum. So getting goods from Juba, it costs a lot, and the taxes and the transportation cost is very high compared to bring goods from Khartoum. When you bring goods from Khartoum, it takes only like approximately 2 days, then it reaches to Bentiu. So shipping cost is low, and then you get a profit out of it.
Uganda's Daily Monitor newspaper quotes South Sudan's ambassador to Uganda, Simon Juach Deng, saying the fighting in Sudan could affect the economy of South Sudan and Uganda. George said whatever affects Sudan and South Sudan would impact Uganda and other East Africa community members. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
A spokesperson with the U.S. State Department says the United States condemns in the strongest terms violence between Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces. The spokesperson says the ongoing fighting between SAF and RSF threatens the security and safety of Sudanese civilians and undermine efforts to restore Sudan's democratic transition. The State Department has established a Sudan Military Conflict Task Force to oversee department's planning, management, and logistics related to the events in Sudan. Today in Sudan, a social media video surfaced of Lieutenant General Mubarak Koti, the General Inspector of Sudan's Armed Forces. In the video, he says the Rapid Support Force arrested him on Saturday and goes on to say he's being treated well. He said there needs to be a national dialogue to end what he calls the disorder going on. Koti says the armed forces and the RSF don't have any disagreements. He says they have worked jointly on battles and missions in the past. VOA cannot confirm the validity of the video and cannot confirm if Koti spoke freely or was coerced. The Regional Bloc Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, has cancelled a meeting of its ministers scheduled this week in Juba. A spokesperson at the South Sudan Ministry of Foreign Affairs says the meeting was adjourned due to what she calls unavoidable circumstances. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
South Sudan's Foreign Affairs Ministry says IGAD has called off the Council of Ministers meeting, scheduled to take place this week in Juba. Pauline Adong is a spokesperson of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation wishes to inform the public that an extraordinary meeting of the IGAD Council of Ministers scheduled for April 18, 2023 in Juba, South Sudan has been cancelled due to unavoidable circumstances. It was postponed because of circumstances that are happening at the moment. And the new date of the meeting will be communicated very soon.
The IGAD meeting was expected to discuss peace, security, natural disasters, and humanitarian issues affecting countries in the IGAD region. SPLMIO's Director for Information, Port Bok Baluang, says the meeting was called off because of the situation in Sudan.
The situation there is a bit difficult for them to carry out their duties as chair of IGAD. So we hope that the current conflict in Sudan will come to an end so that they can focus as an IGAD and as a grantor in South Sudan.
Sudan is the current chair of IGAD after regional leaders first elected former Sudanese Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok as the chairperson of the regional bloc in 2019. The role moved to Abdel Fattah el-Burhan, the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, after the military overthrew the civilian-led transitional government in October 2021. Sudan is also a grantor for South Sudan's revitalized peace agreement. Baluang says the SPLMIO had hoped the IGAD Council of Ministers meeting would have resolved what he calls government violations of the 2018 peace agreement.
The IGAD Council of Ministers will be followed by IGAD summit for head of the state. So we were hoping that these two meetings, the meeting and the summit of the states, will resolve the matter. It's not only one meeting.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now leave you with Kennedy singing in his native Kakwa language. We've been listening to Kennedy singing in his native Kakwa language. One time, one of my friends who comes from Awil was asking me, which tribe is Kakwa? I told him it's not Kakwa, it's Kakwa. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this program, go to www.voa.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Nabil Biagio, and our engineer, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.